In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today's epistle to the Galatians is very beautiful, very much important and pertinent to our entrance into our continuation, as it were, of the Holy Fast. It says, The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one to the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so it is, what beautiful words, as we struggle with our passions. And I think that the great test for each and every one of us is to enter into our interior lives and recognize our faults and recognize how they impact our salvation. And in conjunction with this epistle, I did a little search in St. John Climacus concerning the passions. And because the passions are, they afflict us in every way, and the passions attempt to strip us away from the light of Christ you might say, cripple us and deny us the experience of his love. And so, St. John Climacus says, he who has vanquished three main passions, vainglory, love of money, and gluttony, will be able to conquer the remaining five, lust, anger, sorrow, despondency, and pride. And very, very, very concise. He who has vanquished three main passions, vainglory, love of money, and gluttony, will be able to conquer the remaining five: lust, anger, sorrow, despondency, and pride. And of course, what the goal is the goal is to come to know God. The goal is to experience the light of Christ shining into our hearts and minds. And not just experience the light, but experience the effects of the light of Christ, and which are remarkable peace and a sense of love and compassion. And the truth is that we live in a world that exalts the passions. Passions are continuously acted out and exalted in a sense. The question of vainglory. Obviously, we're all afflicted with it, but so is this world. And the love of money, certainly the society we live in is afflicted with this whole love of possessions. It's more than just money, but it's a love of possessions. To disregard the needs of people that are around us and the needs of even those whom we love. And then gluttony. And, of course, eating, great passion of eating, which supports so many people through their restaurants and their fine foods and delight to satisfy this passion. And Saint John Climacus tells us that these are the fountain of lust and anger and sorrow and despondency and pride, which separate us from God. And he goes on, he says, but he who doesn't attempt to vanquish the former will conquer not even one. Namely, if we don't get rid of vainglory, love of money, and gluttony, we will not be able to conquer any of the other passions. And he's saying some people by nature are prone to temptation or silence or chastity or modesty or resoluteness or meekness, while others have a nature that runs nearly completely contrary to these good qualities and force them upon themselves. And while they occasionally fail, nonetheless, as vanquishers of nature, I acclaim them more than the former. Namely, those who have the struggle and conquer it are greater in the sight of the Lord than those who just have this sort of natural calmness. And it doesn't mean, of course, that we should wish that we have passions so that we can conquer them. But it's a very interesting thing because the ascetical struggle, the struggle to conquer the passions, can only be wrought with prayer. It can only be wrought with contemplating the Word of God and considering and understanding the Spirit that proceeds from Him. And so in this sense, the one who is afflicted and struggles and is successful knows the light of Christ, because he cannot succeed in the struggle without His light and without His help. He goes on, he says, what sins emanate from the eight main desires of passion? And which of the three main three is the parent to each of the other five? The mother of lust is gluttony. Now, this is interesting, because here we are in the middle of the fast, and we're trying to struggle against our passions. And obviously, I think that all of us who are in any way self-aware are realize that lust is a huge passion. We all have lust. Yes, just to greater and different degrees, but definitely we all have lust. And he says that this is the mother of gluttony. Leads to overeating and over-drinking and so on. And it's a passion that, the reason the passions are so, to recognize them and to think about them is so important, is because they separate us from the love and dispassion of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And I think even the whole progress of life, namely that we're born as children, we grow up as young adults, and then we're adults, and then we can become old. It's almost as though God has this course for us, and in the end, we, even in a natural way, become dispassionate. We lose our interest in lust. We lose our interest in eating and gluttony, and in a sense, if we live in the context of the love of God and His Holy Church, we are even naturally prepared to enter into His glory. He says the mother of despondency is vain glory. And I smile at this one because, you know, how often do I think, and I'm so sure we all do, that how we did this well and we did that well, and God forgive me. And we want others to notice this, and you know, we mention certain things in order to gain the attention of others in terms of our vain glory, which is pride. It absolutely is pride. And vain glory is the mother of pride, that's what he says. And so, and pride, it's a kind of self-worship. You know, we look at ourselves and we think what we've accomplished and what we can do, and you know, we reminisce about things that we've done and so on. And I smile and I chuckle because I'm so profoundly guilty. And I think that if you ask St. John Climacus, he thinks we're all a bit guilty on this point. that we have this vainglory, which is the mother of pride. And when we're in this state of vainglory and so on, it's so easy to be insulted. You know, so it's kind of like we can be hurt because maybe someone's not, doesn't appreciate us. Like we sort of open ourselves up and reveal our, you know, our pride and vainglory, and then we realize that no, that didn't go over very well at all. And then, of course, it hurts us. We wallow in this kind of pain and hurt. And he says, sorrow and anger are born from all of the three main passions. Sorrow and anger. And anger, of course, is remarkable. And I think that we all have anger. And some of us, I should include myself, some of you have probably are very good at hiding it, that we have this anger. But in reality, it poisons literally everything, and it flares up at the most remarkable times. I mean, things can be going along smoothly, and something comes up, and it irritates us, and we become angry. And it's easy to justify. We say, "Well, you know, it's my right to be angry. Even when I'm alone, I can be angry." But the truth is, it's not what affects others that's most important, in a sense. It's what affects our soul. And anger truly darkens our soul. There's no question about it. We find ourselves angry, and then we pull out of it. And it takes time to overcome it. It takes time for that anger to subside and peace and calm, and the ability to see the light of Christ and the joy of his life. He goes on. He says, "In drawing water from a well, we can accidentally scoop up a frog with the water. As with acquiring virtue, we sometimes imperceptibly perform vices that are entwined with them." He says, hospitality is at times intertwined with gluttony. So the virtue of hospitality becomes the excuse for gluttony. Love becomes the excuse for lust and judgment. And being prudent in things becomes a source of excessive strictness. And if we have discretion about things, then we can be very cunning in how we might even use our mind and our words to offend someone, to cut them up into little pieces. He says, with meekness comes suspicion. And it's very fascinating, this meekness, when we become suspicious of others. Procrastination, laziness, and contradiction, and disobedience. And he says, with being taciturn, we have the desire to lecture others. And with joy comes conceit. With hope, indolence. In silence, despondency and negligence. With chastity, bitterness. And with humility, unbounded boldness. And he says, continually note the emergence within you of various movements of passion, and you will see that there are many passions residing within you. Often we are unable to discern these various spiritual elements, either by reason of our weakness or by reason of our deep-rooted habit of sinning. It says, anger and sorrow, like a fast-moving millstone, anger in a single moment can destroy the spiritual wheat of the soul faster than anything else. Consequently, it is necessary to watch yourself diligently. Like a flame that is fanned by a strong wind, anger quickly burns out and destroys the pasture of the soul. Nothing is more inappropriate to those repenting than to have an irritable anger, because turning to God demands great humility, while irritability is a sign of being highly self-opinionated. If the Holy Spirit is peace for the soul and anger is confusion for the heart, then there is nothing that bars him from dwelling in us more than an irritable anger. It seems to me that we need to reflect on these many things, and St. John is, of course, one who reminds us very, very clearly of the many passions. And what's most important is if we are able to look at these things and to believe the wisdom of this, our Holy Father, St. John Climacus, who really is expressing the wisdom that we have throughout the Holy Scriptures, both the Old and the New Testament, the teachings on spirituality. If we pay attention to them, then it should create in us a desire for repentance, which really repentance is to change, and a desire to rise up out of our sinfulness and enter in more fully to the grace of God. And here we are in our Lenten pilgrimage, and we are preparing ourselves to behold the birth of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, and in such a way that our whole heart and our whole soul can behold the mystery. I say mystery, it is truly a mystery, because mystery is something that, in a sense, is unknown, but by the grace of God, it's dimly perceived. And what the mystery of the birth of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, the birth of Him, God becoming flesh for our salvation. And here we are, the Holy Church, by its typicon, the way it has scheduled things, is requiring us to prepare so that it doesn't just pass as a sort of a nostalgic reality, but that we can actually, in our hearts and minds, enter into the manger where our Lord was born and see Him in all of His purity, in all of His strength, and understand that it is through His love that our salvation has been given to us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Spirit.